The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Turn to Luke chapter 9 this morning. Luke chapter 9, and we'll begin reading with verse 18. In the context of the passage of Scripture, Jesus is actually talking about what it takes to really follow Him. He begins by making sure the disciples understand who He is. And so in verse 18, He said, "And it happened that while He was praying alone, the disciples were with Him, and He questioned them, saying, 'Who do the people say that I am?' And they answered and said, 'John the Baptist, and others says Elijah, but others, and as one of the prophets of old that has risen again.' And He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.' But He warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day.' Then He was saying to them, 'If anyone wishes or wills to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whosoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for My sake is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of Me and of My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes into His glory and the glory of His Father and the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who are not taste death until they see the kingdom of God.'" And then the latter part of that same chapter in verse 57. They were going along the road. Someone said to Him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." And He said to another, "Follow Me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But He said unto him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, you go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Father, we ask this morning that You would open our minds and our hearts to Your word, that we would hear what You have to say to us personally about the commitments we need to make in order to truly follow You. Well, this is Labor Day weekend, and people have priorities other places on this day, you know, and on this Father's Day weekend, I suppose. But then we think about what our priorities are, and the reality is that we must have, I think, as a child of God, as a number one priority in our life, following Jesus. Now, this message that I preach to you this morning is a message that I normally, when I was at Chatham as interim pastor, I preached on the five purposes of the church. I followed that with the messages on the will of God that I shared with you before I went on vacation a couple of weeks ago about three messages, and then this message was kind of a conclusion message to that series of things. Now, I preached on the will of God and how to know the will of God, what we ought to be able to do, and that the will of God ought to have a real priority within our life. And ultimately, the goal is so that, you know, if we're following His will and doing what He wants us to do, we will ultimately follow Christ. Now, tentatively, my plans are to follow, you know, and kind of reverse the order. If we follow Christ, we ought to be doing what He wants us to do. So what is our purpose? So for the next probably five Sundays, I'm going to be preaching on the purposes of the church and what is our purpose, you know, as we begin to think about those on Sunday morning. We'll begin with the subject of worship. But this morning, I want us to understand we need to follow Christ, and that needs to really be a priority in our heart and our lives. There's no greater decision in the world, no greater decision in the world than you can make than the decision to come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior and Lord. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. But once you're saved, and you really meet Jesus in that personal relationship, and you're genuinely born again, then there is a greater decision that needs to be made, and that is a decision to come after Christ, to follow Christ, to grow up in Christ, to become like Christ. That's what the word literally Christian means. It means basically to follow Christ. It means little Christ. And in the early church, in church at Antioch, when the world saw how Christians lived, they looked at them and they pointed at them, and they first called them Christians. You know, they were little Christ. As they walked in the streets, as they lived their lives, as they did what they did, they looked like Jesus because why? They were following Him. Literally, that's what it meant. They walked beside Him. So we trust Jesus for our salvation. When we do, the Holy Spirit of God moves into our heart, into our lives. It changes us. He comes to dwell in us. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is He creates inside of us a desire to live for Jesus Christ. Now, and I know I'm being real dogmatic with this statement, but let me tell you something. If you don't have a desire to live for Jesus and to follow Him and to be what He wants you to be, you better examine your salvation because there's something wrong. When the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart and into your life and you are saved, then folks, we ought to be living for Him, serving Him, growing up in Him, and becoming like Christ in our lives and doing what He wants us to do, growing up in our relationship with Him so that we become like Jesus and other people will look at us and recognize us and know and see that we indeed, really and truly belong to Jesus Christ. Now our text is basically a text about that decision. It's an understanding of what it takes to really and truly follow Jesus. Now, following Jesus, first of all, is a decision. It is something we decide. Jesus said in verse 23, if any man wills to come after me. In the context of the verse of Scripture, he had asked the disciples, who do you think I am? And they said, well, you're the Christ. Matthew's Gospel in Matthew 16 expands upon that passage a little bit more than Luke does here. But nevertheless, it's the same context. Jesus is saying, I want you to understand where I'm going. I'm fixing to head to the cross and I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be despised, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be buried, and then I'm going to raise again the third day. And I want you to understand what it means to follow me. If you follow me, then you're going to end up following the same kind of path that I'm following, and this is the path that I'm fixing to follow. So you're going to have to make a choice to decide whether or not you're going to come after me, whether or not you're going to follow me. And so if any man wills to come after me, then let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, I want to give you, I know sometimes you get kind of aggravated at preachers who talk about Greek and all that kind of stuff, but I want to give you a little bit of a Greek lesson here this morning. That word will that Jesus uses there, some translation says wishes to come after me or wills to come after me. That word is a present active indicative. Now, you understand, when I was growing up and understanding English and all that, I didn't understand any of that stuff. It was only after I began to study the Bible and see how it made application to our lives and what it really meant that some of that began to make sense to me. But ultimately, you understand, the word, the present means that it's something that is going on presently. You know, so here he's saying, if any man wills, it is a present decision in which we've made. It is something that is going on. It is an active, that means it is an action that is happening, you know, at the present time. Indicative means it is something that is affirmed and locked down that not only is going on at the present time, but will continue into the future. It's not something that's going to end. So ultimately what Jesus says, if you have made a decision, you're in the process of deciding to follow me. That is an active, present decision that you basically has been affirmed for the future and you cannot give it up. So if you will to come after Christ, folks, there's some things that's going to happen. You know, and then he gives us three imperatives, three commands, which says this is what you must do if you're going to come after me. First, you got to deny yourself. And we live in a world today where people don't deny themselves. We do whatever we feel like doing, whatever we want to do, you know. There's been this flap going on about Joel Osteen and things that his wife said about God, you know, didn't want us to follow him for him. He wanted us to do what we wanted to do, and when we did what we wanted to do, God would be happy with that because God wants us to be happy. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus said we're to deny ourselves. Because you see, ourself is in opposition to God. Ourself will lead us away from God. We don't follow Christ based on our feelings or based on our ambitions or what we want. We follow Christ based on what He wants us to do, and that means that we have to come to the place to deny ourselves. And then He says we are to take up our cross daily. I get amazed at sometimes what people call crosses. You know, get a bad back, and my private joke, a bad mother-in-law, you know. That's the cross I got to bear, you know. But I'm telling you, those things aren't crosses. They're not crosses. You know what crosses are for? Crosses are for dying. The context of this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, look, I want you to know I'm going to be rejected and despised, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to bury me. When He took up His cross, it was to go outside the city gates of Jerusalem to a hill called Golgotha, to a hill called Calvary, and there He was to be crucified, and He was to die. Crosses are for dying. So not only must we deny ourselves, but we also must die to ourselves. It is not about us and what we want. It is about God and what He wants. And then He says the third thing is the command is to follow Him. That really is a combination of two words, which literally means to walk alongside. We become so like Christ that we can walk beside Him. And folks, I'm telling you, we are saved in order to follow Jesus. And the Christian, and you know, we make that decision with the volitional will that God has given us. When we get saved, God quickens our wills. We make decisions in three ways. We make decisions based on feelings. We decide I'm going to do such and such because I feel like it, or I want to. We get up on Sunday morning because I don't feel like coming to church this morning. Ain't nothing really wrong with us. We just don't feel like going, you know. So we decide not to go. You made a decision based on your feelings, and it was a wrong decision. 99% of the decisions you make based on your feelings are going to be wrong. Then we make decisions based on our intellect, our mind. We can reason things out. We can weigh them out and say, well, here's the pros, here's the cons. We're going to advantages and disadvantages. So we make a decision based on what we think is the best thing to do. And so, you know, and sometimes we'll make good choices that way. But we're doing it, we're basing it only on our limited intellect and what we can see for the moment and not beyond that. And so we often go make wrong decisions. But the real decisions in the Christian life is made with a will. You see, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit of God moves into your heart, He does something. He quickens your will. He makes it alive again. He makes it ability to be able to choose God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you now have the ability to choose to follow God. God has given you that. That is one of the gifts. He has made alive your will so that you can choose to obey God. So hear what I'm saying. That means if you're not following God, and you're not being obedient to Him, it's because you don't want to. Because you choose not to. If you're not faithful, it's because you choose not to. If you're not being obedient to God, it is because you choose not to. God has quickened your will. And I'll tell you something. He gives you the ability to be obedient to the will of God. If God tells you something, He is always right. There's never a question about Him being wrong. And so we can't put our ideas in here and our ambitions in here and say, well, I'm not going to do this because of this reason or that reason. If God has told us to do it, folks, then He has given us ability and a will to be able to do it. And we're only right when we choose to be obedient to God. It don't matter about all the circumstances and the events and the attitudes and actions of other people out there. It just doesn't make any difference. If you are not living for God, it is your choice. you choose to be obedient. If you're not growing in Christ, it's because you choose not to. If you're not becoming more like Christ every day, it's because you choose not to. It's a matter of the will. Now, if you come after Christ, I'll tell you, there's a price to pay. I know we live in a world where everybody's telling us we live in health and prosperity, and if we'll just live for God, God's going to bless us, and I'll tell you, He will bless you. But He's not necessarily going to give you all the money you want. Not necessarily going to be healthy. Because we live in a world that's been ruined by sin. But I tell you something, you know, God's going to meet your needs, and He's going to give you what you need when you're obedient to Him. Describing the blessings of obedience to God is beyond measure. Some people think, well, I just, you know, if I do this, and then I'm going to have to pay this price, and you're not willing to pay the price, you're ultimately making a choice to say, I'm not going to follow Christ. You can choose to be obedient to God. If you choose to come after Him, you deny yourself, you die to yourself, and you become like Jesus. That's a decision. Your decision. Nobody else can make it for you. And then, second, that decision is a personal decision. That is, nobody can make it for you. You remember, and it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, okay? In John chapter 21, you remember the story where Jesus, after the resurrection, the death and resurrection, there were seven of the disciples who had gone fishing. They were on the shore in John 20:21. And they, you know, after they had got to the shore, Peter had recognized that was Jesus on the banks, because Jesus told them to cast out on a certain side and they would catch a mess of fish. And Peter had been there before, so he remembered that Jesus knew where the fish was at. And as soon as he realized the kind of catch he was going, he said, him and John were talking. They said, well, that's the master. And so Peter just dove off into the water and swam to the shore and left the other folks to bring the boats in and the fish. And, you know, and then they gathered around the breakfast that Jesus had already prepared. And as they were eating those fish for breakfast, Jesus turned to Peter and asked him three times. He said, Peter, do you love me? Now, I don't have to, I'm running out of time. It's a wonderful story. I'll come back to that message another day. But it's a, you know, but ultimately after it was all over with, Peter and Jesus basically told Peter he knew that he was going to love him, because when he got old, people were going to bind him and carry him where he didn't want to go. And John tells us that he knew that was, he said that because he knew the kind of death in which Peter was going to die. But when all that was said and done, Peter turned to Jesus and said, and Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Now, Peter didn't say he wasn't going to follow him. In fact, I think Peter made a commitment to follow Christ from that point on and to be faithful. But Peter turned back and looked at John. And he said, but Lord, what about that disciple? What about John? And you know, basically, what Jesus said to him was, it's none of your business. He said, what is it if I let him live forever? It doesn't matter. It's not your business. See, too many believers go around following Jesus because they fail to follow Jesus because they're too busy watching what other people are doing. If old so-and-so over there would do something, then it would make a difference, you know. You know, we get upset because people who have a lot of money spend that money and do some other things and we don't have it. You know, and so, you know, I never have quite understood why we get upset because people who got money give us money to do things with. And, you know, then other people, you know, they get upset because so-and-so's not serving and so-and-so's not faithful and so-and-so's not doing this. Well, what does that have to do with you? You serve God where you are based on what God's given you, based on the abilities you have, based on the talent you have. You let God deal with the other people. You do what you can do when you can do it. And you be faithful. That's your choice. Jesus said, you follow me. Now, it's all right to imitate other people if they're imitating Jesus. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. He said, you become imitators of me and I'm an imitator of Christ, you know. Sometimes other Christian people, they encourage us, they help us. And they give us encouragement. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, he said, the reason we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, we come to church, is so that we can encourage one another in our relationship with Christ. And we can stir one another up to continue to serve Jesus. And we ought to be encouraging other people and following them. But folks, you know, what other people are doing shouldn't determine what we do. What does God want you to do? This is a personal decision. You choose to will to come after God, and then it is a personal decision you make to follow Jesus and to become like Him. And we follow the person, not a program. Now, we do have a lot of things going on, a lot of programs that we need to develop and some other things that we can get involved in that will help us, enable us sometimes to do what God wants us to do. But we don't follow the program. You're supposed to be following Jesus. When Jesus says, follow me, He's calling us to be connected to Him personally. You know, we can come to church every Sunday and not really follow Jesus. You can serve out of duty and obligation and lose sight of your relationship with Him. It's a personal decision to come to Christ, to encourage others. I'm reminded of the story of the old man and a little boy and a donkey. They were on the way to town. The boy was riding a donkey, the old man was walking and leading it. Somebody saw them and said, look at that foolish old man letting that boy ride him walk. So the next time they saw the old man, he was riding, the boy was walking. Somebody criticized and said, well, look at that old man. He's making that boy walk, and he's riding that donkey. And then somebody said, the next time they saw the old man, both of them had got on the donkey. And the old man and the boy both were riding the donkey. And somebody said, well, look how cruel they are. They are overloading, burdened down that poor old donkey. Well, when they walked into town, the old man and the boy were toting the donkey. Folks, if you listen to what other people are saying, you're never going to please everybody to start with, and you're going to end up carrying a burden you can't carry. Now, that's been a hard lesson for me to learn, but I don't want nobody to be mad at me as a preacher, and I want things to go well and whatever, but sometimes, folks, you just have to do some things that just is right. And you have to let the chips fall where they fall, you know. And it's not intention to hurt anybody else. It's just to do what you know has to be done and to do the right thing. Because we're personally following Jesus Christ. Jesus told Peter, stop worrying about John. Jesus' plans for John was not His plan for Peter. Peter had enough to deal with on his own. And Peter would end up dying for Jesus. And it was none of his business what happened to John. But Peter was to follow Jesus no matter what went on in the lives of any of the other disciples. Jesus was to be the center of his life. He was to be the sun of the solar system. Folks, when someone else becomes the center of our being, then we're going to fall apart. Our lives has to be focused upon Jesus Christ. It is the purpose of our meaning in this life is to put Christ first and to be obedient to Him. Let me tell you something else. It's a non-negotiable trip. That is, we don't follow Jesus deciding like we are going to go to a buffet or a cafeteria style and decide this is what we want. And we pick and choose the things we want to do and we want to follow Christ, you know, and the things that we like, and then we pass over the other things. We don't follow Christ on our terms. We follow Him on His terms and we do what He tells us to do, period. The only responsibility is to follow Jesus wherever He leads, and that is a personal decision. It's a decision. It's a personal decision. And it's a progressive decision. That is, it's a growing thing. When we first come to Christ, there are some things that we know, and so we do the things that we know. But if we begin to follow Christ, we find that God begins to open up doors and begins to show us more and more things that we're supposed to do. And so some things we're doing now, you know, continue to follow Christ in a life of faith, we're going to find that there's more things out there that we ought to be doing. We never quite obtain or reach it all. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I haven't obtained the goal that I've set before me. Is I want to live for Jesus above everything else. All the stuff I've lived before, I've simply carried out and put it on the trash pile, the dunghill, he said, because it's not worth anything when compared to knowing Jesus. But by caring to know Jesus is above everything else in the world. And he said, I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't got there yet. But I'm striving towards that goal. I'm reaching forward to the things that lie ahead, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. See, some of us live in the past. Oh, so-and-so hurt me. Or we had this building and we, you know, these old people paid for this thing and we can't do anything but take care of it. We can't make any other decisions about it. We get so caught up with the things that's gone on in the past. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got to forget the things of the past, and we need to press on to the things that are ahead so that we can do what God wants us to do. Paul said, there's a goal out there in front, and I strive, I press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is a progressive decision where we're always moving forward to find out what God wants us to do. And sometimes that means we let go of things that we've held dear, you know? But it means that we obey Jesus no matter what He tells us to do. To press on towards the prize of the upward call of God. It's a daily walk of faith, a righteousness which comes from faith. Let's face it, you know, when we want something bad enough, we usually are going to find a way to make it happen. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to find a way. To the degree of your faith, you're going to follow Jesus. Following Him is a never-ending journey. It is never complete in this world. And even through eternity, we're going to be following Jesus. So let's not get discouraged in following Him and doing what He wants us to do. The joy is in the journey. It's a daily walk of faith. The best is always ahead of us. It is a progressive decision. Then it is a priority decision. You know, the latter part of our text in Luke chapter 9, Jesus saw three men who said something about following Him. One man came and said he was excited. He come and said, look, I'll follow you anywhere. That sounds good. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen him step out, you know, down the aisle and say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm excited about following Jesus and all that. And then Jesus turned to this guy and He said to him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay His head. See, Jesus looked into his heart and He knew that this guy was looking for health, wealth, and prosperity, you know, and that he wanted to serve God, but he wanted to serve Him at three meals a day with reservations at the Holiday Inn. Jesus said, there's a price to pay. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to give up some things sometimes. We deny ourselves, we take up the cross, and we follow Christ. It's a priority decision that's more important than other things, and sometimes the things that we hold on to and we have so precious in our lives. And then Jesus turned to another man, and this time Jesus turned to him and said, follow me. And this man might be called a procrastinating disciple. He said, well, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go bury my father. Now that sounds like a reasonable request. The problem is his father wasn't dead. So he wanted to go and wait till his father died, and then, you know, he'd work it out. See, he's one of these guys that want to get all the details of his life worked out. When I get out of school, when I get this bill paid off, when I get this job under control, when these things happen in my life, and I can get all of the things, the ducks in a row, and everything is in good shape, then, you know, I follow you. The problem is you're never going to get it all in shape. He represents those who put off following Christ for whatever reason, you know, that they can come up with until they can wait till I get a better job, get out of school, wait till I get married. Right now I just don't know what I can do, okay? Well, I'll tell you, you need to follow Jesus now. Be obedient to Jesus now. What is it right now that you're hanging on to, or you're being reasonable, or you think is logical in your mind that keeps you from being obedient to God? Jesus said, basically, you've got to give it up. It's time to stop procrastinating. It's time to be obedient to God. It's time to do what He wants you to do, to follow Him. There was the uncommitted disciple, a procrastinating disciple, and then there was the undecided disciple. Third man, you know, he said, Lord, let me go home first and see about my family. Jesus told him, said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know whether some of y'all plowed or not. I did when I was, you know, when I was a teenager. I'm glad when I got away from being a teenager and got away from home, I never had to plow anymore. But I know what he was talking about. You can take that old horse, you know, as long as you look down the row, and you keep looking straight ahead, you know, you can plow a straight road. But if you stop and turn and look back while that old horse is plowing, you're going to have a crook in the road where he was plowing. You know, I made that analogy one time when these farmers down at Hesper, and he said, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I got a GPS on my tractor, and I'll punch that button and it goes straight. We live in a new world, okay? But folks, I'm telling you, we're going to follow Jesus. We can't always be looking back at what happened, what so-and-so did, or what, you know, happened back there in my life a long time ago. It's a priority decision that we have to make now to say, I'm going to be obedient to God, follow Him. Now, close with an example in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, Jesus had been teaching the disciples on the seashore. The crowd is pushing Him in, and so He gets in one of the boats, Peter's boat, and says, and teaches the crowd from the boat who's standing on the shore. And then when He got through teaching, He told Peter to launch out into the lake. And then He told him, He said, let down your nets. Now look, Peter's a professional fisherman. He says, Lord, I've been fishing all night. See, they were cleaning their nets. We have fished all night. We have labored. We have worked. We haven't caught anything. And he was frustrated. You know, tell you, when you go fishing all day and then you come in and catch nothing, you're frustrated. When we were fishing, I pulled up at the loading down, and there were two professional fishermen who were there pre-fishing for a tournament in October on the Red River, you know. And they said, we've been here for 2 days, and we hadn't caught but three little bitty fish. And he said, I said, well, I caught three right down here. I got enough for supper for my wife and I. I said, I'm trying to tell these professional fishermen where to fish, you know. They don't like that. It don't go over very well, okay? But that's what Peter, you know, Jesus was telling his professional fisherman where to fish. You cast out your net. So he did. He went out and cast out his net, but he said, nevertheless, because you told me to, I'm going to do it. You see, sometimes even when we don't want to, if we'll obey Jesus, we'll still get the blessing. And so he said, nevertheless, I don't want to, but I will because you told me to. So he cast out the nets, and what'd they do? He had such a catch of fish, and it was breaking his nets. He called James and John over to come help him, and the two partners filled their boats up to the point that they were going to sink. And you know what Jesus did? Peter did. He fell at the feet of Jesus, and he said to him, he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And he was astonished at what Jesus could do and all the fish that caught. See, that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to fall upon our knees and to confess that He is Lord, that there is no one else in the world like Him, and that He's worthy to be followed, He's worthy to be obeyed, He's worthy to be faithful to. If you read the story in Luke 5, you'll find exactly what they did when they got to the shore. It was then Peter and James and John and Andrew. At that point, they said they left all and they followed Jesus. That is, they left their fishing business, their boats and their nets and others behind. And they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned them into fishers of men. Folks, they walked away from the biggest catch in their lives to live for Jesus. What is it that's keeping you from coming to Christ? What is it that's keeping you from following Christ? What is it keeping you from being obedient to Christ? Folks, they're just excuses that's going to hinder you from being what God wants to do and you receiving the blessings God wants to give. People talk about blind faith. I'm going to tell you something. It's not blind. You know, they talk about just jumping into the darkness. I've heard people talk about, you know, faith is like getting out on a limb and sawing the limb off, not knowing where you're going to fall. That's not faith. Okay? Faith is not blind when you know who you're following. You hear what I said? It's not blind when you know who you're following. Jesus is the Lord of lords, the God of gods, the creator of the universe, the savior of the world. He's the one that died for us. And I tell you something, folks, if you follow him, you're always going to be right. The little blind girl was trapped in the fire. She was standing at the window. The firemen were yelling for her to jump, to jump. She was scared. She was crying. She wouldn't jump. She kept calling out for her to jump. She wouldn't. And then finally there was a second voice that came. And when she heard that voice, she smiled and jumped out the window. But the second voice said, "It's okay, darling. I'm right here." And it was her daddy, and she jumped into her daddy's arms because she knew she could trust him. Because I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world when you know whose voice you follow. And you can't go wrong when you follow Jesus. Grandfather came to his grandson one day and said, "You want to go with me?" And the grandson said, "Where are you going?" And the grandfather says, "Doesn't make any difference if you want to go." Well, Jesus said today, "You want to go?" So he said, "Well, I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know where he's going to be." Doesn't make any difference if you follow him. Will you make that commitment to him today? Be obedient to him for things in your life you know you need to get straightened out. Be a part of this church, right? Because that's God's will for your life. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Do what you need to do to be obedient to God today. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to be here and to be challenged from your word. And we ask that you would draw us to that place that we'll be obedient now. That we will choose this morning a deliberate decision of our will to commit ourselves to you and to follow you.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.